I'm Ivan Yelen. I'm the director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, and thanks for coming today. Today we intend to discuss, but go beyond the short-term options to deal with Iran and North Korea, two nations that seem bent on getting nuclear weapons or retaining them in the case of North Korea. None of the short-term options seem to be all that great to make Iran and North Korea give up their nuclear programs. The main options seem to be ratcheting up economic sanctions, what can be called instrumental sanctions on the nuclear-related items against both countries, which are already in place, can probably only delay or raise the cost of getting nuclear parts and components. An evasion of sanctions is usually rampant, especially when big money can be made violating them. Further punitive sanctions on other than nuclear things, for instance, on Iranian trade and on Iranian people unrelated to the nuclear program, seem to be preventing, they won't prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons, and they'll have probably a rally around the flag effect, pushing the rest of population into the hands of the regime. Now, punitive sanctions against North Korean trade don't prevent them from getting nuclear weapons either, and only make it more likely that they'll sell these things to other countries since they can't make money on anything else. Now, of course, there are airstrikes have been mentioned as a possible short-term option. And unbelievably, even after the Iraqi weapons of mass destruction intelligence debacle and the Iraq quagmire, some in the administration apparently, at least according to the New York Times last week, this option is still apparently on the table and under consideration by the administration. The neocons in the administration are still pushing it. However, there are some definite drawbacks to that policy. U.S. intelligence, as demonstrated by in the Iraqi case, was unable to locate the facilities and, in fact, didn't know there weren't any weapons. Well, if the same is true that we don't have perfect intelligence on Iran, hitting all the sites would probably be a problem. Many of these are probably buried, and some are put in heavily populated areas, even the ones that they know about. So the U.S. intelligence thinks Iran is 3 to 8 years away from getting a nuclear weapon, and airstrikes, of course, could slow this down. But on the other hand, airstrikes may cause the Iranians to redouble their efforts to get nuclear weapons, since one of the reasons that they're getting them is to keep the United States out. That's not the only reason, but it's one. Also, airstrikes would probably have an even more pronounced rally around the flag effect than economic sanctions. Now, the North Koreans already have nuclear weapons, or at least the material to make them, and they any sort of airstrikes could be dangerous, either a conventional response, a North Korean invasion of the South, or possibly even a nuclear smuggling a nuclear weapon into the U.S. if they do have a weapon. It's very dangerous to strike a nuclear power. So it doesn't seem like military strikes are a viable option in Iran's case. And certainly, Mohammed El-Baradei, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, said military action against Iran would be, quote, be an act of madness. That's a pretty blunt statement from the head of an international organization. Of course, airstrikes are even less of an option with North Korea because of the nuclear weapons that it probably already has. So the only real way to get rid of Iranian and North Korean nuclear weapons, I suppose, in the short term, is to invade each country and take out the regimes. Well, of course, in the wake of the Iraq debacle, even the aggressive Bush administration is probably capable of learning that that's not such a great idea. We don't even have enough U.S. forces to secure Iraq, let alone Iran and North Korea. And, of course, invading and occupying North Korea and an even larger Iran would make the invasion and occupation of Iraq look like a day at the beach. So in contrast to using sticks, some people have advocated yet another option, and that is to achieve a grand bargain with Iran and North Korea to get them to give up their nukes. You give them carrots instead of sticks. A non-aggression pact with the U.S. saying that we wouldn't invade these countries, restoring full diplomatic relations, an end of sanctions, and full reintegration into the world economy. Now, this is a bit of what the agreement with North Korea is designed to do, but I think that we shouldn't get our hopes up that Iran and North Korea will actually get rid of their nukes, even if we negotiate with them. And I'm not discouraging negotiation. I just think we have to be a bit realistic. I think these countries have both seen what happened to non-nuclear Grenada, Panama, Haiti, Serbia, Iraq, et cetera, and may not believe U.S. non-aggression pledge simply because they tend to be paranoid, and also there may be some reason for their paranoia. They're not, as I mentioned earlier, they're not just getting these nukes to keep the U.S. out. There's also neighbors that they're worried about. In the case of Iran, Israel, Saudi Arabia, who may be looking for weapons of mass destruction. And, of course, North Korea has Japan, which has could go nuclear anytime it wanted to, really. And, of course, you have China and others. So, and Taiwan is even potentially a nuclear weapons state there. So North Korea, of course, periodically gives us hope, and we're undergoing a current period of hope right now as we see the unfreezing of North Korean assets leading to the North Korean promise to let the IAEA inspectors back in and Christopher Hill's visit to North Korea. But even if they fulfill their pledge to stop their nuclear program in exchange for assistance, there's a lot of doubt as to whether they're going to fulfill it since they cheated on the previous agreement with the Clinton administration. Even if they agree to that, of course, they haven't firmly agreed to get rid of all the fissionable material they already have, which intelligence, U.S. intelligence says may be as many as 8 or more weapons. The agreement is very vague on the eventual stages of disabling nuclear facilities, abandonment, and nuclearization. Those are the terms that are used, but it's a very fuzzy language. And what about the parallel, this is the plutonium program, what about the parallel uranium enrichment program that is alleged to be there as well? And, of course, the nuclear explosive tests seem to indicate that North Korea was declaring itself a nuclear power, a nuclear weapons state. And so all these short-term options, which I've just skated over in the interest of time, I encourage our panelists to explore these short-term options in more detail and to disagree with me if they think I'm off base on that. But I would also like them to address what the United States should do if none of these are viable and the United States in the long term has to accept a nuclear Iran and North Korea. Lots of people avoid this subject both on the left and the right for their particular reasons, and I think we may have to begin to address this, and we should start talking about it. Our panelists today are very distinguished, and I'll just introduce them all at once, and then I'll just let them turn them loose to speak here. Chuck Pena, which might be a mistake. Chuck Pena is a senior fellow here at the Independent Institute, and he's the author of The Unwar, A New Strategy for the War on Terrorism. But he's written a paper for the Institute, which many of you have in your packet, on what do we do about the dealing with nuclear Iran and North Korea. So his paper is right on the subject that we're talking about today. Our second panelist is Trita Parsi. He's president of the Iranian American Guild and author of the forthcoming book, Treacherous Triangle, The Secret Dealings of Iran, Israel, and the United States. And he'll speak specifically about Iran. Our third speaker is Doug Bando, who's the vice president for policy at Citizen Outreach and author of the new book, Foreign Follies, America's New Global Empire. And this is just off the presses, so you should get a copy. And he's also written another book, which is specifically on Korea, The Korean Conundrum, America's Troubled Relations with North and South Korea. So he's an expert on East Asia, and specifically Korea, and he will address the North Korean problem. And so with that, I'll let Chuck start it off here. Thank you.